This morning, I decided not to speak about the Advent scriptures that were just read to you because I went in detail over those last year, and I'm sure you all remember that sermon. Don't be lying to me. This morning, I'm going to talk about hope for the future in the midst of the world that we're living in. Deception in our world today is like being entangled in a spider's web. An insect caught in a spider's web can't escape by simply moving to another thread in the web. It will become stuck in that thread, as well as the one that it just tried to leave, and it ends up being even more stuck. It's the same with lies and propaganda. If we try to remain standing in a lie, our next step will be affected by it, and sooner or later, the web will have us trapped and easy prey to be devoured. Only a sharp pull can free that victim from the spider's web, and those caught in a web of lies often need truth in the form of a jolt to be untangled. I did this past week. I was in Riches. I love Riches. For the stories it gives me, for my sermons. I'm just minding my own business. I walked out. Somebody was paying for mine, so I didn't go to the counter. Thank you. Bless you. But there's a man there that was Assembly of God, and I paid for his dinner anonymously a few days ago just to irritate him. And I succeeded, because he's the son of an Assembly of God pastor. And he told me one time that he always pays for the pastor's meal, always. Well, he sat down with me last week and just happened to not notice that I picked up his bill and paid for them both and left. And he was thankful, but somebody was sitting there as we were talking, and he looked up at me and said, "Jesus, I believe." And I looked at him and I said, "You know, the demons believe and shudder." And he looked at me. Now, that was a little harsh. I admit it, but I know this man. We have a relationship, or at least we did. I think we still do. He needed a jolt. He needed to realize that a nebulous belief in Jesus isn't enough to save a person. We have got to come to the point where we apply what he did on the cross to us and our sin. I don't know if that jolt untangled him. I'll find out later when I see him in the weeks ahead. But untangling from deception isn't always comfortable. It doesn't feel good when a Band-Aid is ripped from a wound, or when we realize we need to turn off the TV, including Fox News, and start reading, getting our information through our brains instead of staring at a bright light, mesmerized and not thinking, being emotionally led in deceit. A partial revelation of the truth doesn't always convey the vast chasm of deception into which a person, even a Christian, has fallen. Unadulterated truth, the kind that's not afraid to step on toes, of being caught in an emotional web of deception. It might hurt toes, but it is a small price to pay for walking in the truth. Staying on the path of truth beats falling into the abyss of a tangled web. In our sermons through the book of Ephesians, today we come to verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Some of you prefer the King James. Here's how it goes. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools.
Ouch.
He's writing this to us, to Christians. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. This morning I want to look at 10 points. That's why we didn't do meet and greet, because I've got 10 points. I'm going to try to get through them very quickly. Take notes if you'd like. I'm taking these 10 points from Jan Markell, olivetreeministries.com, and her 10 points about what she sees happening in the world today. All of my comments are not hers. The 10 points are hers. My comments are added to those and maybe changed a little bit. Number one, we're in a countdown to the close of the church age. Let's remind ourselves that Jesus is the God of history, especially God of the church ages. In Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 16, Jesus says to the final Laodicean church. Now you were with me as we preached through the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3, and I suggested, I showed you how dramatically those seven churches are exactly what's happened in 2,000 years of church history, starting in Ephesus, going all the way to the church we're in now, the Laodicean church. In verse 14, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you, the church. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Why would he spit us out of his mouth? In verse 17, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth. I do not need a thing. But you don't realize that you are wretched and pitiful and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shamefulness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Since October 7th, several things have changed in our world. Dramatically, worldwide. Jan Markell mentioned some, I've added some to it. The world decided that Israel became the international burdensome stone mentioned in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. Let me just read it, beginning in verse 1. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms your spirit, the spirit within us. He declares, behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes staggering to all the peoples around. When the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about on that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will injure themselves severely, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. That's what we're seeing happening in our world today. Whoever expected this new malady and Israel derangement syndrome in our lifetime. We know that the times of Jacob's trouble will be a time of Jew hatred, but this is the church age. Even though it's the Laodicean church age, shouldn't we be supporting the nation of Israel? I think our church does, most of us would. But the Christian church in general, probably not. This is a hatred of a people based only on their race, their identity. A people group that has been a blessing to the whole world. God's chosen people since the earliest times of recorded history have blessed our world. Markell's point number two is Israel now longs for peace like never before. She is determined to have peace. That's why they took the guns away from their own citizens. Y'all understand that? They were helpless. Because they thought if they wanted peace, that the Gazans would want peace, the Islamic world would want peace, and everybody would just get along with each other. That's not the case. Dramatically, it's not the case. Israel now longs for a Mr. Fix-It, a peace plan described in Daniel chapter 9, a world ruler, the Antichrist. In verse 27, Daniel 9, 27, he will confirm a covenant with many for seven-year period in my theology. In the middle of the seven, he will put up into sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Hamas has suddenly viciously attacked Israel and killed over 1,400 of their unarmed babies, children, wives, mothers, men. It's the first time they've declared war since 1973. I believe that the historic trajectory of the Jewish people amounts to one of the surest proofs that there is a supernatural realm beyond the mere physical world. For centuries, this disproportionately small people group has endured wave after wave of persecution, and they're still standing. Yet the Jews have endured, thrived, and immeasurably shaped world events. Markel's point number three, for a segment of society, love has grown cold. She's talking about us. Our love has grown cold. This is a tribulation reference from Jesus in Matthew 24. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will become cold. But Jesus said, the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. We're watching large segments of our world favor barbarians. Millions have sided with the butchers of Hamas. These weren't just the military people. You understand that? These were the Gazan Palestinian civilians. If you haven't seen the videos, I don't watch them, unless you really have to. But it is traumatic what these butchers did to unarmed children and families. There are Facebook groups praising Hamas. College campuses rally for the Palestinians. Jewish students are hiding. Jewish teachers are threatened and unable to teach. Much of the world and parts of the church shrug in indifference or take the side of the Palestinians. Cursing Israel and the Jewish people comes with a warning. Even the Protestant church in America has endorsed a Palestinian two-state solution. That's wrong. That's evil. That won't happen. According to Israel, they'll never allow it. They shouldn't. This morning, I got a quote from Amir Safadi on his Telegram account. Here's what he's quoting. A Michigan imam, he names him. And this is what that man said. Leader of a mosque in Michigan, USA. October 7th was a day of God. It was a miracle. We thank Allah for making it possible. They're after us. Do you all understand that? They're coming for us. Genesis 12:2 said, I will make thee, Abraham, a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let's make sure we're on the side of blessing Israel. Her point number four, is the great battle of Gog and Magog coming? I've read commentaries, news reports that say, yeah, it's coming. It's right here now. No, If you were with us in our study of the book of Ezekiel just a year ago, you know it's not coming yet. These nations are aligning as they unite against Israel. That's true. One report said this: Turkey's president, Erdogan, wants to lead the Muslim world against Israel so his country can become a great power. Russia has pledged to come in to Iran's rescue if Israel attacks Iran. The three great players in Ezekiel 38 and 39 are Russia, Magog, Turkey, and Iran, which is Persia. They are aligning more every day. Let me quote Ezekiel. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the ruler of Magog, the ruler of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Prophesy against him, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya. They're just surrounding Israel as we see today. All of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Torgamah and the north quarters, all of the bands and many people with thee. They gather, as you saw in our study, they gather through Jordan at the Golan Heights, and God wipes them out. Millions of them wiped out. Her point number five is the church is slipping further into apostasy. Many churches have post-millennial theology that has encouraged them to remain silent during Israel's greatest crisis since the Holocaust. There are churches along this highway teaching that the book of Revelation is irrelevant. It all happened in 70 AD, and we can ignore it. Doesn't matter. Well, I'm thinking it does matter. Replacement theology teaches that the church has replaced Israel in the program of God, ignoring the covenants made to Israel, not to the church, to Israel, or confiscating those covenants and applying them to the Christian church. No, don't fall for that. Don't get caught in that web. Many openly side with the so-called Palestinians. The silence of the pastors, shepherds, has been staggering and devastating to many church members. Many pastors won't preach or teach on prophecy or current events or Israel and won't take a stand against the anti-Christian movements in our own country. We've seen that over the past 3 years since COVID. Her point number six is the Jews are coming home in greater numbers and are more open to the gospel. Since the October 7th Hamas attack, there has been a 149% increase in interest to return to Israel from Jewish French citizens and an 81% increase from North American Jews. They are going back to fight for the Jewish nation of Israel. Incredibly, the trauma of October 7th will leave deep scars on the nation of Israel and their people forever. They're not going to forget this, and they're not going to let it happen again. There won't be a two-state solution, not unless there's a buffer zone around it that Israel controls. Israel, we're calling for the dissolving of the requirements of every citizen to join the military for 2 years, right out of high school, as everybody in high school in Israel had to do over the past generations. They were calling to just stop it. We don't need it. We're at peace. Their citizen had been disarmed, no guns. But let me tell you, they're now calling for a full draft and for a longer period of service. Are you aware of what was happening right before October 7th in Israel in the Knesset. Suddenly, Orthodox Jews had almost taken control of the government of Israel. They were calling to ban Christians, even to go and be a tourist in Israel and arrest anybody that dared to share their faith in Jesus. That's what was going on. Right before October 7th, they had determined, the Orthodox Jews are the ones that have determined to build the temple. They've got the materials lined up, they've got the red heifers, they've got the stuff ready to go. They're ready to build, and then suddenly, October 7th, shut that down. God's in control. This crisis is driving the Jews to seek God like never before in history. As I told you, I think last week, 200 Palestinian Hamas fighters laid down their arms because they had seen a vision of Jesus. They let it go. You can find that on Amir Safadi's website. Incredible. People are coming to faith even in the midst of this evil. The temple will be built perhaps soon, setting the stage for the Antichrist in the final 7 years of history. Her point number seven is strong delusion intensifies and abounds. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. I can't read this whole passage. Time is fleeting. But verse 11 says, "For this reason, God will send them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness." Be careful that you're not deluded. Turn off your television. When your eyes stop moving, you're staring at a screen, your rational thinking process goes to nothing. You're still recording it all. It's all jumbled up in there in your head. And you respond emotionally. Be very careful. Be careful what you watch, please. The Biden administration continues to give Iran billions of money to fund terrorism. The White House expresses deep concern about Islamophobia. And they say nothing about anti-Semitism. Biden gives hundreds of thousands of dollars to mosques. Even though government officials in Sweden, this past week in Sweden, demanded the closing of mosques in Sweden and forbidding people to immigrate if they were from the Islam faith. Sweden's waking up. It may be too late. We have seen young people praise Osama bin Laden in spite of the reality of radical Islam. Hamas is just normal Islam. That's who they are. They kill anybody that's not one of them. That's what the Quran says. We went through a whole series of that Wednesday night a few years ago. The solution in the Middle East is not a Palestinian state that desires genocide of the nation of Israel. Everywhere evil is called good. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing intoxicating drink, who declare the wicked innocent for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." Facts are irrelevant due to the delusions of our day. Only the righteous can see straight and keep out of the spider's web of deceit. Don't be caught in that web. Don't be deluded. Her point number eight, the intensified longing for a world leader as American leadership is weak and non-existent. in the executive branch. Soon world leaders will line up as a Pied Piper behind a man with a plan who will guarantee peace and stability. He will exude global leadership. The world is almost ready as America fades before our eyes. Point number nine, the intensification of perilous times. She quotes 2 Timothy chapter 3, another long passage. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. And he goes on and on and on. We have been warned of October 7th copycat attacks around the world. America's southern border invites chaos. Rogue nations are threatening us with nuclear attack. World war seems inevitable. And the tribulation has not even begun yet. Her point number 10, finally, there is an explosion of global reprobate minds. Speaking of Romans chapter 1, things have taken a dark turn, unlike anything seen in modern times. The world has become unhinged on a greater level than even World War II. People clearly have been given over. Up is down. Black is white. Men are women. Women are men. Not in this church, by the way. Amen? Israel is the aggressor. Hamas are the freedom fighters. No, don't be deceived, please. Normal or godly thinking does not come to these conclusions. John Calvin, church reformer, writes, to a Christian, the rage of the whole world is nothing, nothing that is compared to the grace and power of God. The world can rage all at once against Christ and his truth, but all its rage is no match for his grace and his truth. His truth and grace will keep us free from the enemy's web of lies and the emotional bondage and entrapment that goes with it. In our Advent reading, real quickly, reading from Isaiah chapter 7, speaking to an evil king that refused to listen to God. God just said through Isaiah, said to Ahaz, ask a sign of God in the heavens above or the earth beneath. Just ask him. He will give you a sign, dramatic and glorious and wonderful. And the king says, I won't do it. Well, Isaiah said, Ahaz, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, Christmas. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas time. That's why we do the Advent candles, to focus on the person of a little baby born in a stable who grew up to become the Savior of the world, to become the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have you personally bowed before him and received him as your Savior and Lord? Don't be like the guy down at Rich's. Hey, I believe. People have told me that before, mocking me. I believe in Jesus. No, you wouldn't have that attitude if you believe truly. Come in repentance, confessing your sin, humbling yourself before him, and simply receive the free gift of God that he gives. The wages of sin is death, But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, please protect us from a web of deceit. Help us not to get caught in the foolishness that's going on in the media around us. Help us to get our news from reliable sources who know the truth, who love the Lord Jesus, who realize that there is a heaven and a hell. People are going to literally go there for their unbelief. Father, thank you for helping us to be witnesses during this Christmas season, witnesses about the glorious Lord that was born in a stable, who grew up to become our Savior. Father, have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen.